today as we continue our series and looking at the eyes and one another's in Scripture. Today we look at I forgive. And that video kind of helps us realize and remember that, hey, we need to take hurts that are done to us and write them in sand. And then when someone does something good, to put it on stone that we remember. Today we're going to look at the hardest one of all to put in practice, and that is to I forgive or to forgive. Have you ever been in a mud pit before? A mud pit? If you ever get in a mud pit, you're going to get mud on you. Just guarantee you that. I don't know if you've ever done like one of those tug-of-wars, maybe when you're younger, and had a mud pit in the middle. If you get dragged in the mud, you're going to get mud all over you. I think in a way, we're living in a world that's like a mud pit, where we're getting mud flung everywhere. And if you're good and you're trying to stay clean, it's almost impossible. Because mud is just being flung here and there. It's amazing how someone else's dirt will affect you. How someone else's mud will affect you. Here's what I know. Sin is messy and it's dirty. And when someone sins against you and you get messy and dirty and get mud on you, the only way you can get clean is to forgive. It's the only way you can get clean again. And when you sin, the only way you can get clean again is through Jesus and asking for forgiveness and the blood that forgives us and cleanses us. The problem is that forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is hard at many times. And we feel like maybe sometimes when we forgive that we're really kind of letting someone off the hook. And that's not really the case, because we got to remember that God takes care of our justice, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and I apologize for not having the scriptures here somehow. I did not, my email did not get it to Case properly. I'm not sure what happened in our connections this week, but so you'll have to just do old school, either look it up or listen. One or the other. But in Ephesians 4:32, you may know this one. It says, instead, Paul wrote, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you. The key to forgiveness and putting this verse into place is really happens in the verse before this, in verse 31. In Ephesians 4:31, it says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage, harsh words, anger, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. It says get rid of all these things. For forgiveness to take place, we must get rid of the attitude of the one who sinned against us. To get rid means to remove, to let go. Have you ever been caught in a spider's web? As soon as someone gets in a spider's web, you automatically start going like this, right? They start grabbing this way, that way, this way, right? Because you're trying to get rid of the spider web. And that's kind of what Paul is saying here. He's saying, get rid of the anger. Get rid of the rage. Get rid of the bitterness. And get rid of the slander. You realize all those are emotions? They're the emotions to the unforgiveness. There are emotions that Paul says we need to let go of. And yeah, how do you get rid of emotions? How do you get rid of that? Because that's pretty hard. Because the responses are unforgiveness. It's our response to unforgiveness. And just in case he missed any other response of unforgiveness, he says, as well as all other types of evil behavior. Because our flesh wants to say, but you don't know my story. And you don't know the mud that was flung at me. And maybe that mud has some bad stuff in it. Well, let me remind you, these words that were written, they're not written by a spiritual, elite Christian professor on a beach on a blanket with his little laptop and sitting there simply typing this out with his mocha or his coffee and enjoying the day. Now, these words were written by the Apostle Paul. They were written after he was falsely accused. When he was arrested in prison and waiting to go to jail. Before a crazy emperor named Nero, who more than likely would put him to death. And he's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about letting go. I think Paul understood it because I think Paul practiced this. But let me take it one step further. These words were not only written by the Apostle Paul, but they were written under the divine inspiration of God himself. So think of Jesus writing these words, who came to the earth, who was falsely accused, beaten, and crucified, so he could forgive us all of the sins that we have committed against him. Talking with someone the other day, and they were really just talking about, we were talking about who crucified Jesus. It was what he was bringing up. And he was talking about who crucified Jesus. And he was wanting to put the blame on eventually the Catholic Church. So he started off with the Romans and talked about how the Romans were the ones who crucified Jesus. And I knew where he was going with that. So I just cut him off and I said, you know, to be honest, yeah, the Romans crucified Jesus. The Jews crucified Jesus. But reality is we all crucified Jesus. You can't put this on one group of people. I said, for it was all of our sins is the reason he came and the reason he died, because if he didn't want to die that day, it wasn't going to happen. He could have called down 100 angels, or he could have just flown away, or he could just walk right through them. He could have done some kind of miracle and gotten away. He is God. We couldn't have killed him. There's no way you can kill God unless God lays down his life for you. So I said, in reality, we all crucified God. And so when I think about that, yeah. And yet God, Jesus, does it so he can then in return forgive us. And so the thought here is just as God has through Christ forgiven you, the end of verse 32. And this is so important because you see, when we're mistreated, when we're taken advantage of, when we're done wrong, and when we've been sinned against us, the natural response is to respond with an emotion like bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, or some evil type of behavior. But Paul says, no, don't respond that way. He says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you. So which bucket do you think forgiveness comes from? It's got to come from the sacrificial bucket, doesn't it? Because it requires such a sacrifice in order to forgive. Right? And so the sacrifice that Jesus made is how we in turn look and say, okay, I can now forgive you. God wants us to respond the opposite way than the world does. How do we contrast that? Just as God through Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Why? Because relationships matter to God. Relationships matter. And God wants us to have relationships with other people. They matter so much that God made a way for us to have relationship with him. If relationships didn't matter to God, God would have easily wiped us away. But because relationships matter, because God wanted a relationship with you, and though you or me, though we were rebellious against him, God made a way so that we could have a relationship with him and have it restored. God took the initiative so that we could have a relationship with him. So when I think about that, it tells me relationships matter. And if God is willing to restore my relationship with him, then I must be willing to restore relationships with others that are broken. Because relationships matter to God. That gets rid of all the excuses of why I can't forgive. Paul says, just as Christ forgave you, Lee, forgive others. Because the one who was perfect and totally didn't deserve to be treated as a criminal, to be treated unfairly, and to be put to death, did so, so that his relationship with me and you could be restored. Relationships are always worth restoring. There's a story that we have read before, but it comes from Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter asked Jesus this question. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Because in the Jewish law, that's how many times you had to forgive someone. Seven times. That's a lot of times. And what did Jesus say? No, seven times seven, Jesus replied. But 70 times seven. In other words, I want you to forgive 70 times seven, which means there's no limit to how many times that we forgive. Why? Because relationships matter. Because relationships are important. There's no limit to God's forgiveness with us, so why should there be a limit with our forgiveness to other people? Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered what he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. The man fell down before the master and begged, please be patient with me, I will pay it all. The master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. I love this parable. Because Jesus takes all the emotion out of forgiveness. He looks at it as a debt. And we're going to see this in a minute because it goes all throughout Scripture in the New Testament. When Jesus talks about forgiveness, he puts it in the term of a debt owed. And he says it's just like forgiving somebody who owes you a debt. Because think about it. When someone hurts you, there's a sense that something has been taken from you. So a debt is owed to you. For example, someone slanders you. What have they taken from you? They've taken part of your reputation from you. So what is owed to you? What is owed to you is your reputation given back to you. If your boss fires you unjustly, what have they taken from you? Well, they've taken part of your income from you. What do they owe you? They owe you part of that income. That's why you're so angry, because that's what you lost. If someone betrays you, what have they taken from you? Well, they've taken from you your trust, and probably a whole lot more, but your trust, right? And what must be given back? Your trust. In other words, when someone hurts you, if you think about it, something has been stolen from you. That's why we want to get even with them. That's why we want to get back at them, because something was stolen from us. In order to feel like we got justice and justice was served, then I feel like I must restore what was taken from me. I've got to get even, get back, so that I can set the record straight. In Jesus' parable, there's a king who's going to settle his debt with a subject who owed him a tremendous amount of money. He owed him more money than he could pay back. For some reason, he allowed him to borrow a huge amount of money because at the time he must have needed it. And he said, King, please, I will pay you back. Just allow me to have this large sum of money. And the king gave him the large sum of money. But he wasn't paying it back. So the king remembered the debt and he called him before him because the king wanted restitution for what had been taken from him. So in order for him to help restore his payment back to him, the king said, look, I want everything you own given back to me. I want you to be mine to be sold as a slave. I want your wife to be sold as a slave. I need your children to be sold as a slave. I need your servants to be sold as slaves so that I can recoup the loss that was given to me. The man cries out for mercy and falls at the feet of this king and says, please, I promise you, if you will just grant me mercy, if you'll just give me a little bit more time, I will come back and repay the debt. We've all been there when we cried out for mercy. Like, remember the last time you got pulled by a police officer? You cried for mercy, didn't you? I think you probably would. You say, help, you know, I wasn't really, this is what happened. I wasn't thinking. The king then did what no one saw coming. The king then looked at the man who was crying out for mercy, and he says, I will forgive all your debt. He didn't even have to pay the debt back. The king says, look, I will forgive the debt. The debt you owe to me. But the story doesn't stop there. In verse 28, but when the man left the king, he went to his fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little time, more time. He said, be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. This servant who'd been forgiven of hundreds of thousands of dollars now finds himself in a place where he let one man borrow a few thousand. And so this man, he comes across him and says, look, you owe me these few thousand back after you've been forgiven so much. You couldn't forgive this man of his debt? And he wouldn't forgive this man of his debt. And when the king found out, the king was furious. And the king took him and threw him in jail. What does that tell us? That forgiveness is a big deal with God. It's a really big deal with God. Because God values relationships. And God looks at us and says, and reminds us often that he has forgiven us of so much. And if he's forgiven us of so much, then we must be willing to forgive others. It's not right to hold on to debt. We have to let it go. Remember Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6? It goes like this. Remember, after this manner, therefore, he prayed. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And what's the next line? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Isn't that forgiveness? See how he frames it in the frame of a debt that's owed? He says, when you feel like you've been hurt and you don't want to forgive, it's because you're holding on to a debt that you've got to let go of. And then he goes on to say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As soon as he says amen, without stopping to take a breath, he goes right back to this thought of forgiveness. Like, the disciples weren't even asking it. They were just asking, God, how do we pray? Teach us to pray. And so Jesus gives them this, quote, formula of a way to pray as an example. But as soon as he gets done, without stopping, he continues his thought on forgiveness. And he says this, if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. After the prayer, and in the prayer he includes forgiveness, and it's like at that moment, the Spirit within him just says, we got to take this further. We got to really drive this point home. That Forgiveness is a big deal, that you forgive a debt. Because if you don't, then I can't forgive you. Remember when Jesus talked about coming to the house of worship? He says, if you have a debt against somebody, you need to go get that debt forgiven before you come worship me. Because unforgiveness is that big of a deal with God. The principle is clear. In order to be forgiven by God, you must be willing to forgive others. Listen, do not be so arrogant to think that you won't ever need forgiveness. Because guess what? We all, at some point, will need forgiveness again. Right? So be willing to forgive others. Verse in 32, the one that is the sister verse of this is found in Colossians 3:12-13. In Colossians 3:12-13, Paul wrote these words, "Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Now let me remind you something. Forgiveness is not approving or excusing or justifying a wrong that's committed to you. It's not pretending that you have not been hurt. It doesn't mean that reconciliation has occurred. For reconciliation to occur, the person who hurt you must ask for forgiveness. But it does mean, forgiveness does mean, I can let go of the debt that they owe me. Whether they will ask for forgiveness or not, whether reconciliation ever happens, I can let go of the debt that they owe me. It's simply letting go of the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the harsh words, letting go of the sinful actions. It's not seeking to get even. It's saying, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to choose to forgive them. I'm going to choose to let the offense go. Several years ago, I learned this lesson really well about forgiveness and how we need to forgive one another. I was vacuuming the house, and Gidget had gone and left, while I was vacuuming the house, I was vacuuming it and trying to hurry to get done because I'm sure there was a ball game on I wanted to watch. So I was rushing through with the vacuum cleaner. And the cord somehow got around her grandma's vase. And it was her face. It was like, I don't even want to look at her now because I know. it was like the vase. You know, it's like you don't ever want to knock this over. Like, when Christian and I were playing ball in the living room, oh no, you got to stop playing because the vase is there. You know, we get lectured all the time. And somehow I wasn't paying attention and knocked the vase over. And it cracked into three spots. So immediately I'm trying to go find out where the super glue is and trying to fix it somehow, hoping that maybe it can just sit there for a while. And then when she comes in, she'll see it and go, oh, look what the kids did. You know, and not think it was me, you know, but, you know, I was trying anything I could do, just trying to get things back together, because I knew she was going to have my hide when she came in. And I was like, oh no, I blew it. So when she left, she says, I'm going to take your truck down the road and do my shopping or whatever. And, okay, so this is when I was younger and more immature. Like, I don't really like you taking my vehicle, because I don't want anything to happen to it. And so, like, I keep my vehicle, try to keep it really clean, nice, and all that. Used to, you know, all the time. And you know, and so I didn't want it to get hurt or touched. Well, somehow, she got a ding in it while she was out. So here she comes in, crying because she knew she got my truck hurt. And here I am, messed up, because I knew I had hurt her vase. We both needed to forgive each other. And it was a God moment, right? Because it was like, yeah, you got to forgive me, and I have to forgive you. Because in life, that's how it works. When we're part of a church family, eventually somebody's going to do something that's going to rub you the wrong way. And you have to be able to forgive. You have to be able to let go and not hold on to the offense. Not allow to say, hey, I'm going to get even, or I'm going to get back, or I'm going to teach them a lesson. Right? Paul's saying, we've got to be able to forgive one another. That forgiveness is relationships that are worth restoring. He's saying, I believe that relationships are worth restoring. I'm not going to allow the enemy to bring anything between me and someone else. Let me ask you, are you driven by unforgiveness and anger? Do you hold on to hurts and have a hard time letting them go? Well, you're probably not alone. Unforgiveness, let me just tell you, it hurts you more than it hurts the person who did the action against you. Holding on to it is not going to hurt them. It's only going to hurt you. Hear me, the one who hurt you and took something from you cannot keep hurting you anymore unless you keep holding on to it. As soon as you let go of it, the unforgiveness comes. Listen, your past is your past. There's nothing you can do to change it. But you can change your today and tomorrow by learning what happened and then letting go. There's a great example of this. We've been looking at this man a little bit on Wednesday nights, and that is Joseph. In Joseph's life, what a great example. From Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50, Joseph was, life was pretty much destroyed almost by his brothers. You know the story well, I'm sure, but his brothers took him and sold him as a slave at the age of 17. He sold as a slave. Goes to a foreign country. Can't even speak the language. Has to learn how to speak the language. Has to learn his new surroundings. Has to realize he's a slave. And he tries to do everything right and to the best of his ability and to honor God and to serve God, even in the middle of a difficult situation. And then he gets falsely accused from a woman who says that he raped him when he did not. And so he's thrown into the Egyptian prison until the age of 30. So from 17 to 30, the Bible tells us, 13 years of his life being messed over. Now, we don't know how he responded, but in every case, when you read through those chapters, Joseph always responded the right way. Even in prison, he kept serving God. He never held on to the debt that was owed to him. His brothers actually owed him 13 years of his life back. And by the way, God's will doesn't always happen. Because that was not God's will for him to be sold as a slave. But what Joseph said was this: God can take what you meant for my harm and turn it to my good. God can take a situation where someone does us harm and turns it for our good. He can take what the enemy means for evil and change that for good for his will. Right? You see, the reason why that his will is not always done is because God gives us freedom of choice. He gives everybody freedom of choice. His brothers had freedom of choice. They could have done the right thing, but they chose to do the wrong thing. And when they did the wrong thing, it hurt Joseph. But here's what I know. When people do me the wrong way, God can take that and turn it for my good. It may not happen right away at that moment, But I guarantee you, I can then look them back in the eye and say, I know you meant this for my harm, but guess what? God has developed me. God has grown me up. Or God has taken what you have meant for my harm, and I'm a lot better off now. Because God has turned this thing around for my good. Because that's the kind of God we serve. But if I hold on to the unforgiveness and say, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me 13 years of my life back, and I hold on to that, what happens? Bitterness sets in. Anger sets in. And it continues to mull in my spirit and continues to destroy me. Is it hurting the brothers? No. It's only hurting me. So my best option is say, this is a debt. Let me take the emotion out of it. It's a debt. I'm going to ask God that that debt be removed. I don't want to hold that debt. I don't need that debt back. I'm going to give it away. And Lord, I'm going to trust you that God, what they have meant for my harm, you're going to turn to my good. So that that thing doesn't settle in my spirit, because it only hurts me. Because relationships are worth saving. Therefore, when I see them, I don't run from them. I don't hide from them. I can still look them in the eye. I can still give them a hug, still speak to them. But I know the issue relies with them. And at some point, my prayer is that they're going to ask for forgiveness. Or maybe I may even bring it up to them and say, you hurt me. You know, but I've forgiven you. And then give them the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Some people that doesn't work with, right? So you just have to say, I forgive you. I'm not going to hold this debt anymore. Because it's not worth holding the debt. It's not. It will destroy you and it will hurt you. Let it go. Because relationships are worth saving. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Someone was telling me Wednesday night about a man that he worked for, and how this man had mistreated him and didn't took some of his money that he owed him and didn't want to pay him. But you know what I didn't sense? I didn't sense him holding on to that. I sensed that this guy had forgiven that guy. I thought that's so cool, right? Because that's what we have to do. We have to forgive those who mistreat us.